Welcome to Living in Hi-Fi. I'm Steve-O.
And I'm Flisso. This is a podcast about records. Today's album is Harp by Harpo Marx on RCA Victor, catalog number LPM27 from 1952. There are several releases of this album. Ours is the 10-inch version.
So this album comes from a Baltimore Record Bazaar, like a number of our recent episodes. And I don't know. I mean, I always knew that both Harpo and Chico were, you know, musicians in their own right, besides being part of the Marx Brothers comedy troupe. And thought I'd pick this album up and see what it was like. So here it is.
Anyway, you want to hear about what this album looks like?
Yeah, what does this album look like?
So it's on this sort of poppy red cover. It has in a little white box, Harp by Harpo, and then in a little cursive letters, Harpo Marx. And it has a little rectangle sort of cut out in yellow background that highlights Harpo's face, the little like comical, clowny, rosy cheek on there. He is, of course, playing the harp towards a tower of comedians covering their ears, which is kind of silly. Then it's got a list of the songs on it. And this is RCA Victor Musical Smart Set. I wonder if this was maybe a, you know, part of some box set at some point. I'm not sure. And then on the back, it has some notes by Leonard Raphael, a little summary about Harpo Marx and the songs on the album. And it says, the appreciative listeners on the cover are all friends of Harpo, George Burns, Groucho Marx, William Bendix, George Jessel, Jack Benny, Chico Marx, and Murray Wilson.
All right. Well, do we want to listen to our first selection, Flissy?
Sure. What is your pick?
My pick is the first track on side B. It is the song Bourré. Let's take a listen.
So this reminds me of that Terpsichore recording that you are listening to in your car right now. It's got a little bit of like Baroque kind of early music lilting vibe to it. And I really like the choral singers and the string section in the background.
Yeah, I really like this song. Has sort of just like a really gentle sound to it. And I sort of just imagine there being like cherubs, you know, sort of flying around or floating around or whatever when listening to this song.
Yeah, I can see that.
So, well, what can you tell us about Harpo Marx?
So Harpo Marx was born Adolf Marx on November 23rd, 1888. And the story is that his mother gave him a harp while he was in his early 20s and told him to learn how to play it, basically. And so he taught himself. So notably, he plays the harp resting on his left shoulder rather than his right. Although if you look at the album cover, he is resting it on his right shoulder. So I think that was a technique that he corrected at some point. He did have help from harpist Mildred Dilling. And because, of course, he was so involved in Hollywood, he was friends with musicians like George Gershwin and Oscar Levant and a whole bunch of other musicians. So he definitely had the resources on how to learn how to play the harp, maybe with a little bit more classical, some could say, correct form. So you might recognize Harpo Marx from his films that he starred in with his brothers. And he was in these Marx Brothers movies from 1925 until 1957. Before that, his brothers and him were part of the vaudeville scene from a pretty young age. Apparently, Harpo Marx was dropped out or kicked out of school when he was only 7 or 8 years old and started kind of picking up work with his brother Chico to do things like deliver newspapers and shine shoes. So it's like very like Horatio Alger sort of beginning story of rags to riches. They were really in a their family was in a very poor neighborhood in Manhattan in the turn of the century. So during the time that he was making movies with the Marx Brothers, also in the 1940s, he was really active with the USO, performing for the troops. And he also did some solo parts in films without his brothers. And in the 1950s, he is when he started his recording career as a harpist. This, I think, was his first release as a harpist. And he continued to do some tours with the Marx Brothers. Like, I think their last movie was in 1957, but they continued to do like stage shows throughout the 1950s. And he also made TV appearances during that time. So if you don't know about Harpo Marx, like one of his shticks was that he was this mute character, so he didn't ever talk in any of the movies. I found a really wonderful website that is managed by one of his sons, Bill Marx. And his son really said that when Harpo Marx played the harp in the movies, like that's when he really saw like his father as a person when he was being a musician. I guess he was really loved music, and when he wasn't working on movies, he was also a painter. So he had this very creative life. He seemed like he was really a very sweet man. So in 1936, he married Susan Fleming, who was a part of the Ziegfeld Follies, and together they adopted 4 children. And so they had these like family rules that basically had to do about like, you know, continuing to explore your creativity and respecting every family member's own pursuits. So like, for example, respecting Harpo's harp and their mother's paint supplies and the like the kids' other musical instruments in the house. So it's really like seems like he had a very sweet life with a lot of emphasis on like personal creativity and kind of like helping to take care of each other as a family. So it was a big part of his life as an adult. So he was a little bit older when he had these kids. And so a lot of his later career was really pursuing his music and his painting. And he kind of got a lot of flack from other musicians because he was self-taught on the harp. And I think like the harp is among, to me, it seems like among the most legit of classical instruments. I don't know what you think about that.
What makes an instrument legit?
I don't know. I think I rate it on like difficulty to play.
I mean, it's definitely ranks as a classical instrument in that you don't see many like rock bands or something with harp.
Where, that's true.
I don't know. I mean, you had like jazz piano or jazz clarinet or whatever. I don't know. I don't see a lot of jazz harp, I guess.
Yeah.
So in terms of strictness of genre or something.
So I guess, like, you know, because he was self-taught, he wasn't super strong on his rhythmic ability. He never learned how to read music. He only learned how to play by ear. And he was more interested in, like, interpretations of pop music rather than classical music. And so the people that were, like, serious harpists or, like, people that are into classical music kind of looked down on Harpo Marx because, like, he's like, well, this guy is not, he's not a real musician because he never went to school for it. He can't read music. He'd never be able to sit in on an orchestra. And like in pop culture, seems like, you know, he had some appeal. It's like, oh yeah, that guy's in the movies. And, you know, I think like this in the 50s for sure, like these sort of orchestral variations of pop music, that was definitely a thing. So I think he did get a little bit of notoriety for his pop interpretations. But I think like he was sort of, I think he maybe is a little bit underrepresented as a musician because he didn't really like, wasn't really a pop musician because here he is like pop interpretations on a very classic music. On a really classical musical instrument, and the like super classical people didn't think that he really was like for real, which is unfortunate.
Well, I mean, yeah, I have to admit it's sort of, I never knew what to make of him because, you know, he would be in the movies and they'd be doing a bunch of ridiculous slapstick stuff. And then either Harpo or Chico would have some sort of musical interlude. And I'd be like, what is this? Get back to the, you know, get back to the plot or whatever. And I mean, at least, you know, Chico's piano playing, like sometimes he would be a little silly with the way that he would be playing or whatever. But Harpo's playing was, you know, pretty, pretty straightforward. And so I don't think I ever appreciated it, you know, while watching his movies.
Yeah, it's really interesting because, like, I really do feel like there's a shift in his character when he comes out to play the harp. It's like, he's, I think, like, Harpo's characters in the movies, he's, like, a little bit, like, of a rascal. Like, he's a little bit mischievous and a little bit childlike. And then when he pulls out the harp, it gets, like, very romantic and sentimental and sweet. Very earnest, I would say.
Yeah.
And that is definitely like a change of what his normal character is like.
All right. Well, why don't we listen to your clip, Felicity? What did you pick?
I picked T for Two.
All right. Let's take a listen.
Two. How about that song?
Yeah, I like that song a lot. Sounds like it is sort of like a dream sequence from a movie. In fact, I feel like it may have been a dream sequence in one of their movies or something. But I like that it's a little bit different from the other songs on this album that are mostly just strings and vocals, and that there is a little bit of clarinet, it sounds like, in there. What do you think, Fuzzy?
I really like this interpretation of this song, like T for Two. I have this this great recording of Tommy Dorsey's band, and it's like this really like sort of cutesy cha-cha song, and it does like this does have a little bit of that cheerfulness in it, but it's also like a little bit more mellow, and it has this tempo change. It really slows down during part of the song, and it does give it that really dreamy quality that I really enjoy. Yeah.
So what do you think about this album, Fuzzy?
I really enjoy it, and it's a very interesting album. Like, there is, I think that song that you selected has a little bit of classical flavor, as does the Chanson dans la nuit on side A. And then again, it's got like a little bit of pop songs. It's got the T for Two. It has Swanee River, which I would really put in like a folk song category. And it has a song that Harpo wrote called Guardian Angels that features some vocals. So it's kind of an interesting collection of things. And I like that he's got definitely his own unique interpretation of things. There's a lot of like interesting improvisations on the general melody of the song, and it's full of those like very harpy glissandos in there. It's right, that's what it's called, right? When it's like
yeah, I like this album too. I mean, it's sort of I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe it is the harp that's accessible for someone like me who's not really a harp aficionado.
Yeah.
You know, and it, you know, it's got some, I mean, the harp is sort of prominent enough, but it is not, I guess, it doesn't sound like it's taking itself too seriously, although he is, I don't want to say like he's being jokey about it or anything. I mean, I feel like he is, you know, making a straightforward attempt at playing the harp, but I don't think he's got pretension about it, I guess.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Like, I think the song choices are unpretentious, and there is like this lightness to the way that he plays.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, this being a, I guess, 1952 release and on a 10-inch, I find a lot of 10-inches from that period, you know, I guess the composition of the vinyl or whatever at the time really don't age well, and ours is no exception to that. The quality of the vinyl is, you know, pretty bad, pretty noisy. But overall, it's something that is, you know, an interesting find. Glad to have in our library. Not really sure where to file it, but I think we chose easy listening.
We did, yeah. And it is like, I think it is in the genre of those like 50s orchestral pop music, which is kind of my jam. I like this, like, really. We put on another one last night of this like random music for dining, which maybe that might make an appearance on the show at some point, but it's like in the Sidney Lipton, like it's sort of
Hill Bowen.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like vaguely dance music, but too slow to actually dance to.
Upscale dining music.
It is upscale dining music, indeed.
All right, so
which, you know, I would say this is like upscale snack music. It's only a 10-inch, so it's got it's like an EP, so like maybe for some popcorn, some cupcakes. Popcorn, right. And cupcake listening.
So for more information, you can visit our show notes at livinginhifi.com/episode/51. As always, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at livinginhifi. For longer correspondence, you can send us an email to feedback@livinginhifi.com. And next week we have...
astrological surprise.
Oh, indeed. another random flissy find. So thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.